closer.
Hi, everybody, and welcome to the Pre-Accident Podcast. I'm Todd Conkling, your loving and caring and quite attractive host for the next 20 minutes or so. Who knows, maybe a little longer, maybe a little shorter. You're going to like this one. So in my quest to get people to talk to, and remember when we started this, I wanted to simply make this a conversation about sort of the new view, or as Steve called it, the renaissance of safety that's happening in the United States. I think that sounds much classier. In fact, if you say that to your boss, I think you can get a raise. I'm managing a renaissance in safety. Hello. I'm going to need more resources, starting with me. This interview, I talked to a guy named Kurt Krueger, and Kurt is the global safety guy, and he's with General Electric. He'll introduce himself a little bit because I kind of pushed him into that position to do so. I wanted you to have a chance to get to talk to Kurt, to get to hear what Kurt had to say. Kurt is really interesting in the fact that Kurt started this journey pretty early. In fact, GE started this journey pretty early, and it's one to watch. Because in their need to start this journey early, they did some good things, and they did some things that they had the opportunity to learn from. And I really tried to leverage Kurt into two keyholes. What do we need to do to be successful? And what shouldn't we do? What can we learn from your going ahead of us that will save us time, energy, effort, money, and emotion? And that's how I took Kurt. But I love Kurt. You're going to love Kurt as well. He's a great guy. He's super smart. Now, he's on the IH side of the house. And you know what I always say? IHs are the brains of the outfit. And Kurt really sees the world as an industrial hygienist. And that's not a bad thing. That's a good thing. He's coming at this problem with a high need for data and a high need for proof. And I think that makes us all richer. In fact, I know that makes us all richer. But the thing about Kurt is he's also really, really attainable. In fact, I promise you, if you listen to this podcast and think you want to talk to Kurt, you could pick up a phone, find Kurt easy. That number's not hard to get. Talk to him and he'll talk to you. He's got lots to share with us about how safety is managed. But I think Kurt brings to the table lots more information about how to manage safety upwards towards the C-suite, the senior executives, and outwards towards the organization. And that knowledge is worth its weight in gold. It's been a fun conversation. You're going to like it a bunch because it's an interesting conversation and it's filled with lots of information. And Kurt's a nice guy. So without any further ado, ladies and gentlemen, this is Kurt Krueger. Here we go. The best way to start this conversation is probably exactly the way we talked about it, and that is give us some background on you. Who are you and why are you here?
My name is Kurt Krueger, and I'm with General Electric Company. I'm the Global Health and Safety Programs Manager there. And talking with Todd about a journey that he's helped us go down with human and organizational performance and talk to you about some of the ways it's helped us.
Perfect. So what do you think it was that first attracted you guys to this human and organizational performance stuff? How'd you learn about it? How'd you get interested in it? Why was it attractive? What was it about this that made you give up literally 40, 50 years of really rich safety culture? And you didn't give it up, but it's kind of an additive change. 40, 50 years of a clear direction to actually move in at every level of the organization and sort of change the way people think about safety. What was it that drove that?
Yeah, Todd, it's an interesting story. Like a lot of other companies, we were struggling with seeing our fatalities and serious injuries move with the same effectiveness that we were able to eliminate the more routine type of injuries and illnesses that took place. And in spite of trying to use some of the traditional methods that were out there, we just weren't making progress. So we literally started looking for what's new, what's out there that can help us. And we were trying to go consciously outside the box, something that we hadn't tried before, and looking for something that we thought would help us. We looked at industrial psychology. We looked at behavioral safety. And all of them have their pluses, but they weren't getting it done. So we were looking for something new. And we got introduced to this really through some contacts at ORC and a couple of other places. And it made sense to us. actually over a beer and in a bar one night with you, I recall. So the local rationality principle, to be specific. But it made sense, and we decided to have a go at it, and it's made a difference for us.
So how'd you do it? I mean, what'd you do? If you could tell anybody out there that's listening to this, and there's a lot of people that are listening wanting to sort of make this move, but they're not sure how to do it. What'd you do? How did you get the interest? Did you start at the top and work down? Did you start at the bottom and work up? Did you start in the middle and work in both directions? Mm-hmm. What'd you do? And how'd you speed up? How'd you get good at this new idea? How'd you learn these new things?
Well, part of it was thinking about what works in our company. And a lot of folks told us the real road to success was go get the attention of top senior executive management and then have them help you kind of force it back down through the organization. And that just wasn't a successful path for our company in most initiatives. So we actually took the opposite approach. And we started to create some grassroots-type success stories, working with folks down at the shop floor level, teaching them some things about this new way of thinking, if you will. And then we created success stories that we used to attract the more senior executive leadership and get their attention. And it's worked. But a key thing for us was really telling folks, this isn't rocket science, but it is a different way of thinking. And you have to go into it, I think, with the understanding you're trying to change the culture around the way your company thinks about humans, how they interact with work, and the likelihood that they're going to make a mistake somewhere, sometime. And that's a hard process. It's not easy.
No, but it seemed to really work for you. Well, do you remember any of these success stories? Give us one. Give us what's your favorite success story out of the whole GE family? I know I'm sort of springing this question on you. We didn't talk about this one beforehand. Actually, we didn't talk about any of this beforehand, really, but he's acting like we did. What are your success stories? I mean, in fact, let's open the question up like this. What are some successes and what are some failures? Because I bet you remember the failure stories, really, almost immediately.
No, we have some failure and some success stories. And a lot of without getting specific about failure, because there may be some people who will listen, but there were some places where we went and we made the mistake of really not getting their attention about what is it that they had to learn to think differently about this thing of, you know, employee error, the likelihood of making it, and that there is such a rich learning environment if you can push through that and learn to understand how to ask those kinds of questions and be open to that learning. And we had some failures. And we had some failures, I think, initially around some places where we had some pretty significant events. And we learned that just certain approaches didn't work. We also had some terrific successes. The one that most immediately comes to mind is one that you and I actually worked on together, one of our facilities in New Jersey, which unfortunately we don't have them anymore. But we went in and it was an engagement of both the EHS team, the employees, and actually all three operational leadership, executive level operational leadership there at the same time, and taking them down the road of discovery. What's this different way of thinking? What are some of the ways of thinking that I have to give up? And what are you offering me in return?
So that's interesting. The facility in New Jersey, I think, was really interesting in that I really think the belief was they couldn't be made better. And because we sort of everybody believed they couldn't be made better, it sort of gave us a freedom and it gave them a freedom to really do almost anything. And they did. I mean, they grew and they got better. How did you handle the engagement with senior leadership? Because that's a real position you have. You have that access. How did you get senior leaders informed? How did you train them and teach them? And then how did you get their buy-in and commitment?
Well, first, we had one senior leader that I worked closely with, and just intellectually, it clicked with him, and that was a help. You know, walking him through my learning process, why did I think this made sense, that clicked with him as well. But the rest of our senior leadership, it was really a matter of being able to show them a few success stories first and to show them practical examples of how we were going to begin to apply these principles. And letting them wrestle with it. One important part of our learning, and I've had two or three of our senior executives tell me the same thing, you can't just throw me in a room, let me have access to some of the materials. I need to have a chance to wrestle with the concepts with somebody who understands them, fire some questions back that might not always be real friendly, okay, and wrestle with these concepts and then kind of come back and say, it's starting to make sense. And that goes to when you and I first had a conversation. I was wrestling with that. And it was, you know, we had one of those light bulb moments around local rationality. And it's like, okay, now this makes sense. All right, now it makes sense. And I think our executives had the same thing, but we had to walk them through the process and not insist that they run right away. And they were willing to let us do that.
But they're super committed. In fact, one of my favorite quotes is, one of your senior people was asking a pretty public meeting, are you prepared to go back to the old blame, shame, and punish? And the quote from that senior leader was, we're never going back. As a company, we'll never go back there. Kind of almost like burn your ships. When you hit the shore, burn your ships. There's no returning. How did you engage that level of commitment?
In part, it was getting enough trust to allow them to let us go through the process with them. But we showed them some things that made some remarkable impressions. We brought them some information about New Jersey. And we showed them not only that it made sense from an EHS perspective, but productivity and a couple of other ways remarkable benefits.
Yeah.
So they're going, oh, all of a sudden now EHS is contributing to the greater good of the company in ways that are beyond just EHS. And that was a powerful realization for them because now they literally were going, we're trying to show some operations people things that will help them improve their operations, not just their EHS. I think that was critical. And we were able to do it. I literally had one senior executive who agreed to be coached on a different way of asking questions when she was following up on a significant event, literally to the point where we wrote the 10 questions for her.
Yeah.
All right. She agreed on them.
Yeah.
And then for the first 6 months that we did incident reviews after that, I was told, when we do them, you're sitting right here next to me. And if I fall back into old habits, you tap me and go, no, change direction. And that was a great way to learn. And I was enabled to coach her and help her make that transition. And then she took it and she ran. It was gone. So it was wonderful.
If you had to give tips, if you had to say, if you're going to really move your organization to the new view, make sure you do these four things, what would those tips be?
I think a few things come to mind. I mean, number one, for the culture of our company, it was important to create and document some success stories, be able to show people, here's why I think you need to pay attention to this, because look what we've been able to accomplish by going out and working with some people, real world application. One of the other things that I think we made progress when we really centered around a few principles and tools, learning teams being one, was we originally told our folks, we want you to experiment. We're not going to tell you what to do because we want you to experiment. We want to hear what works for you and what doesn't. That turned out to be a little rough. And the people really said, we needed a little more, even if it was, we've seen great success with one tool. There's a bunch of them out there. Start with this one. That probably would have gone over better early on. And I think we'd have had a smoother path to things. But getting those success stories to then engage your senior leadership, I think were the keys to our success because we were able to bring them to really into the program. And as you know, because you met with one of them, we've had enough success that not only have we gone through EHS, but one of our business CEOs saw what happened following some fatality events, quite honestly, mm-hmm. At one of his facilities. And he had us fly you to meet him in an airport to give him a one-on-one training session on human and organizational performance because he had become convinced he needed to be part of that. He needed to know more so that he could drive it in his organization. Well, that was creating the success stories. That's what got his attention.
So what's next? This is a two-tiered question. You can tell me what's next in the organization. Mm-hmm. Where are you thinking? What are you thinking is next? Where's your head now? What interests you? What areas do you want more of? What are you reading? What are you thinking about?
Well, I think what do we want more of? I think where we're headed right now, we're not finished with the first phase. We haven't gotten the whole company to the same level, you know, with all of these principles, getting into really becoming a learning organization and a listening organization and learning what that's all about. So we've still got some road to travel there, and we'll do that. But it, like I said, it's a culture change in how you think about employees and the likelihood that there will be errors and what is that really telling you about your system. So that's a slower change, and it'll continue to unfold. One of the things that I don't think I've found anybody that can help us. I've been doing a lot of reading on different aspects of incident investigation, talking with a lot of people, folks at like government entities that are working on high-profile investigations, things like that. I think we need to develop a much better process of how do we apply these in a relatively structured way into our incident investigation processes, because that's such a critical part of organizational learning that if we allow the old traditional methods to be alive and well there and we don't bring that process with us right away now, it's going to pull us back. It's going to take us back to those old traditional ways of thinking. So from our perspective, I think that's probably the next big priority for us, is to figure out how to move that whole part of our process and at least get balance between human and organizational performance and some of the traditional mechanistic methods that still have play when you've got the right kind of event to do an investigation on.
Interesting. So that's encouraging, I think. It's a high hurdle. It's a hard road. But I think investigation and learning is really the key. Final words? Any final thoughts? Any challenges or words of encouragement for people out there that are going to start this journey?
Well, I think talk to some of the people. There are plenty of folks like us that are out there now that are beginning to apply this. There are examples that, I mean, we've even gone back and forth with some of our benchmarking partners to say, we'll go speak to the executives at the other firm to help them convince. So there's help out there. But there's a leap of faith aspect to this in there. And if you've struggled and you haven't seen the kind of results that you want in your organization, this, I think, is something that you can't miss on. It's a process. It's a principle. It's a way of thinking. It's an operating mechanism. It is not a new program. And you can't approach it that way. And I think it's important for folks, get somebody to talk with you and shepherd you through the process. Get a couple of partner companies that you can mentor back and forth with, and find a place, start small, make it even one facility, see if you can craft a success story, and then use that to draw the rest of your company to you.
Perfect. Perfect. Thank you. It was brilliant.
All right.
So that's Kurt Krueger. What'd you think? Pretty interesting. I told you it'd be interesting. It's fun to hear those big guys talk about how they do stuff like this in big companies. Because, you know, they have some advantages that smaller organizations simply don't have. But in the same breath, they definitely have some disadvantages that smaller organizations actually have huge advantages. Small organizations can move quickly. They're really lean and agile. Big organizations are like giant battleships. It takes some time to get them turned around. I really like what Kurt has to say. And part of the reason I like what Kurt has to say is that Kurt comes to this story, really General Electric comes to this story really honestly. They started the journey a long time ago. They did a first generation run. They did a second generation run. They did a third generation run. And they learned every time they did those runs. I love how he says it's a methodology, it's a system, it's a paradigm, it's a philosophy, it's a way of thinking, it's not a program. And that's a really powerful piece of information, but that's kind of a hard piece of information to sell. Because if you don't know, you don't know. And it's really easy, I think, to see this as kind of the next thing that erases all the other things, when in fact, this is probably much more of an additive idea. Bringing a new view of safety into the world is an additive feature to a current system that's probably relatively successful. For the most part, what you guys do really well is safely perform work. And the fact that you safely perform work, I think, allows us a place to start the next level of conversation. And that's what Kurt talks about. GE journeyed, Kurt journeyed, the senior executives journeyed. They're helping other people journey, but it really was kind of a struggle. And it took some time for them to think about and process and work through what this means for things like data collection systems and, you know, overall safety management systems and all these things we worry about and we deal with. That was a big part of what Kurt dealt with and worried about. So it's interesting to kind of watch it play out. Mostly, though, I think it was fun for you to hear. And it was certainly fun for me to talk to. I love talking to Kurt. He always has lots to say, and that's interesting. Keep around. The podcast is even getting more interesting. Just some teasers. There's a lot of great things coming up. Had a really interesting conversation with Tom Krause. And he's going to talk a lot about the new view, behavioral-based safety, kind of where their thinking on the behavioral-based safety side is, how they're moving. It's really an interesting conversation. He apologizes, just a teaser. I'm not spoiling anything. I'm just saying it's very interesting to hear him have this conversation. You'll like it a lot. It's doing great. The podcast is remarkable. Considering I haven't even promoted it, it's really remarkable. Keep listening. And if you have friends, tell them about it. And I hope it helps. If you've got suggestions or ideas, you can always contact me. I'm wide open to it. And I'd love to talk to you more. I think it'll help us a lot. Until then, though, keep having fun. Keep learning every day. And for goodness sakes, be safe.